Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Ray, and we are in the Mystery Motel. Today, we are looking at the origin story of one of the greatest guests within the motel, Sherlock Holmes. Specifically, the video game Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1. The latest entry to be developed and published by Frogwares. Released on current-gen consoles and PC November 16th, 2021, this adventure game is the 9th entry in Frogwares' franchise, and the first entry in 5 years. Having been introduced to the series and its mechanics with 2014's Crimes and Punishments, but then being frustrated by the glitches involved with 2016's The Devil's Daughter, I was left with a mystery as to whether this would truly be worth the $45 price tag. You guys know I love stories, so we are going to be covering the main story, but I will be taking time to cover the base mechanics and briefly go over the setting, as this won't be the dynamic duo that you are used to. And after all of that, I will be answering the question of whether or not this is worth your money. So get your Deerstalkers on, did you know that was what they call the style of hat Sherlock wore? I didn't know that. And have the magnifying glasses at the ready. It's time to solve a mystery. Sherlock Holmes franchise does follow a trend with their mechanics. All of their recent titles have a mechanic where there are actually multiple possible outcomes for each case. Sherlock draws conclusions based off the evidence at hand, but at certain junctures he is left with the option to deduce what he believes happened. Generally, each point has two possible deductions and can either coincide or contradict another deduction. You can change your mind until the end of the case where you can combine all of the evidence and your own deductions to formalize your final conclusion on who the killer is. And yes, every single case is a murder case. Because apparently, murder is the only way we can make a law game. Most developers are back there like, who I gotta kill to make a video game around here? And that's how the latest writer's strike both started and ended. Something a bit new to this entry is that Sherlock is seemingly incapable of being wrong. While there are accepted canon endings amongst the community, there is no consequence or fact check when you make your final selection. The police just go along with whatever you say, or they simply get flustered as you allow the potential murderer off scot-free. That's right, even Sherlock has a moral system. When you determine who the murderer is, you decide whether it was justified or not. Sometimes outside factors like politics, hard times, and your own sense of right and wrong, or justice versus vengeance, as it were, will affect what decision you make. There is, however, seemingly no consequence other than some future newspaper articles, which you can completely skip, being affected. As far as the investigations go, Sherlock has a natural gift for taking in a scene and reconstructing a major event that happened there, either from his own memory or by taking in the context clues scattered throughout. This is the part where Sherlock can fail repeatedly, but the game won't continue until you get the right combination. So if you get tired of guessing, feel free to hit up one of the many guides online. I think it was GamePressure.com. And there's a new mechanic to Sherlock's franchise, and that is combat. Now, there has been combat in games before, but it's always been relegated to cutscenes and QuickTime events. Now, while it's still not a fist fight straight out of a Robert Downey Jr. film, there is some nice gunplay. After being issued a pistol by the local police force, Sherlock uses his intellect and the environment around him to disorient his foes. While it is possible to simply shoot the enemy dead, it gives you some negative interactions with the local police, and honestly, part of the fun is in shooting off pieces of armor and then disorienting the grunts enough to knock them out. As far as the setting goes, this game takes place in Cordona, a map split into 5 districts. Each district represents a certain social class, with a central district housing most of the game's resources, such as the archives for the police, city hall, and local newspapers. Sherlock is only 21 years old in the story, and is in the beginning of his career as a consulting detective. The majority of this game will take place in the central district, and that houses Sherlock's childhood home. There are also a few main story ventures into Old Town, but unless you take the time to tackle the less than impressive side quests, about 40% of the map will be left untouched, which isn't to say you'd be missing much. Frogwares franchise is making money off of the IP and the gimmick of the mysteries alone. Their budget doesn't allow for super realistic graphics, regardless of what platform you run the game on. That said, we are now going to dive into the driving force of this game, the major story beats, full spoilers involved, and of course, the answers to the great murders that are to come our way. The main story follows young Sherlock, and we are quickly introduced to John. Not the John you're familiar with, but John, Sherlock's imaginary friend. Yes, that's the origin they are going with, and they are sticking to it. Sherlock is simply traveling to Crodona to visit his mother's grave. During this adventure, we are introduced to our first mystery, Ghosts of the Past. With the intention of visiting a psychic to help pass the time, Sherlock walks in a scuffle between a rich gentleman and the psychic in question, all while the dilettante who had been accompanying the gentleman was passed out on the floor. While Sherlock begins to look into a possible robbery, he discovers that the young woman was murdered in her hotel bedroom. Upon further investigation, the player will be left with two suspects. It is discovered that the young lady was actually in the midst of a long con, coming from a guild of thieves. She had been stealing from a gentleman throughout the many stops of their trip and framing various individuals for the robberies. You can either deduce the fact that the gentleman finally discovered this trickery and murdered the woman in a fit of rage that appears common with his persona. Or you can accuse the psychic, who appears to have come from the same thieves' guild and knew the woman intended to frame him for the robbery. After making your accusation, you can then decide whether to have the man in question arrested or determine that the woman had gone what she deserved and that the killing party can walk away for hands clean of the situation. After dealing with that nasty bit of business, Sherlock can visit his mother's grave, only to run into an artist that seems to know more than he lets on. The artist implores Sherlock to visit his childhood home, and it is here that Sherlock begins to remember his past. The past where his mother, who had begun to fall ill when it was taken to Crodona, seemingly to keep her deteriorating state a secret. We begin to get a sense of the bigger picture, with Mycroft playing the part of the overprotective brother, the yet-to-be-named doctor making multiple house calls, and a very friendly neighbor coming to help out now and then. It would be a visit of his neighbor that would start the next major mystery, a gilded cage. It has been discovered that the neighbor was crushed to death by his pet elephant, Goliath. An investigation into his family drama, his underhanded business dealings, and his relationship with Goliath itself leads to six possible conclusions. Goliath simply went mad from its less-than-ideal captivity and killed its master in a fit of rage. Or it did so by accident due to the combination of mating season and poor captive conditions. The boyfriend of the man's daughter provoked Goliath into attack, or unsuccessfully attempted to stop it. This boyfriend in question really being a trans man who had been smuggling drugs for shady individuals while being a champion boat racer. His commitment to the daughter is called into question. Then there is the neighbor's business partner. The men had worked together to work a dig site. While the neighbor wanted it for more economic reasons, such as setting up a new hot springs and charging an entrance fee, the partner wanted to discover ancient wonders housed within and preserve them. His deductions are similar in that he either provoked Goliath or tried unsuccessfully to calm it. Either way, after retrieving Goliath, you can either call for Goliath to be put down or for one of the men to be arrested. Upon returning home, you'll gain more memories, this time of a cross encounter with your mother. Sherlock was seemingly hurt as a child, and the doctor and Mycroft had to restrain the mother. It appeared the mother's illness made her prone to violent outbursts and delusions that her husband was still alive. Sherlock would begin to worry that his delusions of seeing John everywhere could mean his mother's illness was passed down to him. After making these connections, Sherlock is invited to attend an art gallery by the artist and discovers the artist actually has some work for him. It would appear one of the many paintings was stolen, and Sherlock is hired to track the painting down in a case known as the Muse from Abroad. With proper investigation, it is discovered that the painting in question actually is a never artist's interpretation of a rape. This second artist has been murdered in an attempt to tie up loose ends. As we go down the rabbit hole, we discover there are some political machinations at play. The man who had committed the rape begs you to not turn him in, and in return, he will use his political influence to better the conditions of the colored community. He refuses to do anything outright for the woman he had raped or the child born from his act. Sherlock also discovers a crime lord had been actively looking for the picture in order to blackmail the rapist, thus gaining political power of his own. He promises Sherlock that if he is given the painting, while he doesn't have enough influence for the entire community, he can finance a better life for the victim and her child. You are also given the option to throw both men under the bus, hand over the painting to your artist friend Vogel, and release all the information you have gathered to the press. Both men will face charges and public scrutiny, but neither the community nor the victim will receive any help. After dealing with this, Sherlock will have a never flashback. This time, he'll remember that the doctor was not the professional that he appeared to be. He had kept copious notes about the less-than-ethical experiments he had run on Sherlock's mother, forcing her to relive her husband's death repeatedly. He also stated he wanted to experiment with Sherlock, but Mycroft had refused to let the doctor anywhere near him. There was an altercation between the doctor and Mycroft that Sherlock had witnessed. Mycroft had called the doctor a fraud and demanded he leave at once. The fallout of this is still cloudy, as Sherlock receives another mysterious invitation to a party. Given a mask and cloak, Sherlock meets up with Vogel, discovering there has once again been a murder. Vogel called Sherlock as this party is one that is to avoid police involvement due to its sinful nature. This is the case of the sacrificial lamb. While you don't get long to investigate, it does appear that Fabio was murdered in a ritualistic fashion. You only get to peruse the crime scene and speak briefly with the partiers before the police arrive, and we are treated to a montage of police brutality. Upon arriving at the station and being cleared of any possibility of being the murderer, Sherlock is free to question everyone else. There are three distinct possibilities. You could accuse the host, who was in love with Fabio, but that love was one-sided. You could accuse Matista, another sex slave, one who was in love with Fabio and may have been attempting to perform a love ritual. And finally, you can accuse the host's nephew, who had motive to frame his uncle, who had kept him in indentured servitude with no plans to reward him in the will. After dealing with this, you can finally return home and gain access to the garden, where you witness the final flashback. And what a painful flashback it is. Young Sherlock was pushing his mother along in the wheelchair so she can enjoy the sunlight. She asks to speak with her husband, and Sherlock has to tell her that her husband is dead. This causes a violent outburst where Violet says, quote, "My son wouldn't lie. You're not my son. Give me my son," end quote. And she would proceed to drown Sherlock. This causes Sherlock to black out and wake up to the doctor standing over his mother's dead body, Mycroft holding a pistol to the man's head, accusing him of murdering her. All the pieces begin to fall into place, with young Sherlock with a never deduction to make before Sherlock draws his conclusion. In this flashback, it is discovered that at John's suggestion, young Sherlock had given his mother an extra dose of her medicine earlier that day in an attempt to calm her down. After deciding whether this could have had an effect in her or not, Sherlock must determine who he holds responsible. He can hold himself responsible. He can blame John for suggesting he overdose his mother and accuse him of being his darkest thoughts brought to life. He can accuse the doctor for murdering his mother to hide any evidence of his tampering with her mental state. Or you could blame Mycroft for falsely accusing the doctor as his mother's death was an accident, a result of the doctor attempting to save Sherlock's life. This decision will determine the specifics of your ending, but no matter what, John finally disappears from Sherlock's life. Sherlock goes to London and meets John Watson, thus leading to the duo we all know and love. Now, I'm going to get into the different pros and cons of this game and what it's worth, but first, a quick word from our sponsor, please. Guys, time to go over what is good about the game and what's not so good. The story strays far from the source material with only a few Easter eggs on hand to shout out the novels. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, as we do get to see different takes on the world's greatest detective, albeit this is one where he suffers from delusions. Although one could argue against that classification, seeing as Sherlock is aware that John is nothing more than an imaginary friend. A message that was welcome, and that we are seeing more often in video game period pieces, is one that informs the player that they are about to play a game that does feature heavy biases against women, people of color, and anyone who didn't fit the heteronormative structure, with developers taking the time to state that while they are dedicated to creating a realistic experience for the time period, they also understand that these biases and the inhumane way these people were treated were wrong. So, there are bonus points for that. I've always been a fan of the deduction system. Something I feel detracts from this mechanic is that they have taken away the ability to be wrong. In prior games, you could check your answer after the fact, and if you were right, there would be a bonus cutscene, usually with a fun, quick-time event involved, and there was often consequences that were on display, not just in newspaper articles, such as is the case with Chapter 1. As discussed earlier, the map, while a bit more ambitious than what Frogware has attempted before, leaves a lot to be desired. Nothing stands out graphic-wise, which is a very competitive aspect in the gaming business today. Nor is the map used to its fullest extent as far as the main story goes. Unless you are attempting to trophy hunt, there is no point tackling side missions, meaning you won't have reason to explore the map further. As for the fast travel system, at least prior games hid loading screens behind cutscenes of Sherlock traveling in a carriage. While I was playing on PS5, there wasn't long load times, but the extra effort put into those travel scenes was appreciated and sorely missed. Another complaint would be with the costume dynamic. The game offers the options for players to buy multiple costume pieces, however only certain items are deemed acceptable and thankfully are usually marked. Otherwise, you are wasting your precious money on clothing that simply won't pass for a proper disguise by the game's standards. A sad running theme in the mystery genre is that there are not many major IPs that can be called upon to maintain interest. Released only a month prior to this game was an origin story from another famous literary detective, that being Hercule Poirot. Other than that, we're looking at some games based loosely off of Call of Cthulhu to help keep the genre afloat. The full asking price for this game is $45. I'm going to say that this game is more appropriately worth $25. I'm tempted to give it $30, but that's mostly because of how much I love Sherlock Holmes. For a generic mystery fan, this will still present a few nights of good fun. As I said, the side quests aren't worth much, so the $25 will be further worth of the main story alone, so definitely wait for this game to go on sale before picking it up. Other than that, folks, we are still looking forward to seeing the next Hercule Poirot story play out in film with Death on the Nile. And even more exciting is the upcoming second season of Wolf Among Us, currently under development by the new Telltale Games team. With a fervent commitment to employee care and stating that they wouldn't release Episode 1 until the entire game had been finished, one can have high hopes of the future of the mystery genre. Until then, we are set to take a break from the motel and simply visit Untold Horrors, play some games, and keep up with the grappling world. And don't forget, coming soon will be a special Comic Chatter episode, where we discuss the film Spider-Man: No Way Home. Much love to everyone, and remember, there are warmer days ahead.